The more that human activity becomes regulated, the happier I am to be a sailor. The feeling of independence once the shorelines are slipped is one of the core delights of cruising. That and the ever-present lure of the unknown. All of us who go to sea are adventurers at heart, seeking the unexpected in a world where almost everything else is preordained, from what time it will rain in 3 days to the number of miles to next service on the car's LED display. We're designed to cope with uncertainty, and dealing with it delivers more than its share of job satisfaction. And it isn't all about emergencies. The upside is that landfall on a strange coast can produce unscheduled delights. My first visit to the southern states of America came when I arrived in a modest boat from the West Indies. I'd left the Virgin Islands in late March, so it was very early in the season. This and the resultant morning frosts probably kept the crowds away, and I found an unspoilt wonderland of nature. My engine was on the skids as usual, so I ghosted through the limpid, peaty water of the Carolina cypress swamps in silence. Later, I rollicked across the wide sounds of Pamlico and Albemarle, bound for the Outer Banks with their sparse populations and flocks of birds. I didn't need Dvorak, a concert hall, and the New World Symphony. The music was thundering in my head. I was seeing America as the first settlers must have seen it, and I was transfixed. Many years later, I visited the old haunts, this time from the land in a rental car. To approach anywhere near the wilderness, vast deserts of man-made mediocrity had to be transversed. Motorways, gas stations, hamburger stands and lawyers' offices lay between me and what, for all I knew, was the fairy tale country I had once travelled. But I couldn't recapture that moment. The sea was the only way. As well as the joys of nature, turning up somewhere by boat can often lead one to the best parties in town. If, like me, you find yourself tuning in to the morose Swedish detective Wallander on late-night TV, you'll be intimate by now with the provincial south coast port of Ustad. Unlike the community represented in Midsummer Murders, which must by now be measurably down in population on account of the toll taken by the unlawful killings, Ustad is a real place. I sailed into it one sunny day a couple of summers ago, and striking out into town from the lovely sandy marina with its boardwalks and busy little cafes, I discovered one of the finest chandleries in Europe. They sold everything, from a modern yacht needs, but they also specialised in all the goods required to keep a serious sailing ship at sea. They even purveyed seamen's primitive art of the highest calibre. The place smelt of Stockholm tar, hemp, and linseed oil. It was like heaven. I might mention as an aside that even this remarkable emporium featured in a recent episode of Wallander, although the staff had been changed to suit the demand of the Swedish Actors' Union. Instead of the highly civilised lady who had served me with a ball of tarred marlin at a mooring spring, a shifty-looking character lurking in the gloomy recesses behind the fenders refused to give the honest guardians of the law a straight answer. Thank goodness he wasn't there when I showed up. Instead, the real chandler told me about the 18th-century opera house the town had just refurbished. That night was the grand opening, featuring an agenda of pure Mozart. I galloped up to the box office, secured the last 2 tickets, and nipped back to the ship for the Blazer and Ducks. My wife shook out her best dress, and we passed an evening of pure delight next to an elderly Swede in a pink dinner jacket. We didn't see Wallander around, but neither did the guys we met the next day who'd arrived by motorhome. They'd missed the opera. Not having fetched up by sea, they hadn't visited the chandlery, so they never found out that it was on.